Okay. You're going to actually be able to hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me. Hear me.
Me, 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 me,
hear me, 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 me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Joseph Reality, the podcast. I'm Jazz.
And I'm Jid.
And this is where we talk about Bravo TV and the latest drama. So let's kick it off today with Teresa Giudice. She finally married Louis.
Mm-hmm. She finally married Louis. I thought everything about it looked great besides the hair.
I honestly couldn't see anything beyond the hair.
I could not.
So crazy.
It took like 1,500 bobby pins or something.
I never have seen anything like it. I showed it to Teach and he was like, whoa.
She looks like Mega Head or Mega Brain or whatever that blue guy is. That superhero.
I don't think I know what that is. But I can only imagine.
Yeah. It was a lot. Her daughters looked gorgeous.
Oh though. My god, they looked so good.
Yeah. It was fun to see a bunch of Bravo Lebs together.
Yeah. I'm stoked for the drama to watch the drama that was leading up to it.
Me
when
too.
The season comes out because it sounds ridiculous. The Gorgas didn't even come.
Gorgas didn't go. But you wanna know what? Like I'm like, is anybody really surprised?
No, not
I at mean, all. They were just a boiling pot of water waiting to spill over.
Yeah.
The Gorgas and the Giudices hate each other.
Yeah, truly.
So it's like, why is everybody like, oh my god, I don't get this?
I don't think it's surprising. I just can't believe they actually like put their foot down and did it.
Yeah, true. And I'm sure Louis should, I don't know. I don't see that marriage lasting. Hopefully it does.
What do you think about the cheating allegations?
That Louis cheated on Teresa?
No, that apparently, so the word on the street is that the reason why the Gorgas didn't come is because Louis brought up a rumor that Melissa cheats on Joe with somebody.
Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm.
And that she got caught by one of Margaret's friends because they were making out in the car.
Mm.
So more on that to come.
Well, I think that'd be weird coming from Louis. Like, why would Margaret tell Louis that?
I think that people knew in the circle and he brought it up. And they got in a big fight about it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe. Where there's smoke, there's fire. I always say it.
Yeah.
And I think Louis would be somebody to bring it up, even if it wasn't true, because he needs some heat off of him.
Yeah, true.
So I could see both sides
of
that.
I think they got in a fight and then he just threw that out there. But anyways, so can't believe that finally happened. Mm-hmm. Glad it's over. I'm kind of sick of talking about their upcoming wedding for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay, so for episodes this week, we have Beverly Hills, Dubai, Southern Charm, and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So let's start with Beverly Hills episode 13.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
All right, so the main thing is Rena's brunch.
Mm-hmm.
Rena is a hot mess, but we'll get there. So first, the thing that drove me the most crazy out of this whole thing is that they're just talking flippantly about Crystal's eating disorder, like in a bad way.
Yeah.
Like casting doubt.
Yeah.
On the validity of her eating disorder while she's not even there.
That, and they're just like, why doesn't she just go get help?
Yeah.
Like and it's like, it's not that easy. Do you know how many people need help that don't get it? All those bitches need help.
Right.
True. Erica's relying on pills and alcohol. So want to talk about needing help about something? Don't even get me started.
Yeah. And I really thought it was pretty gross, like how Rena was like, well, my daughter went through this and we went and got her help right away. I was like, what?
Yeah.
People grow up in completely different families, completely different backgrounds, completely different beliefs.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you trying to say? That like you did it right and everyone else should do the same and you can't see why they wouldn't? Like that's crazy.
I know. It is crazy. And it's like, some people might judge Rena for why her daughter had an eating disorder at 15. Like, it's like, there's so many things if you really want to start diving in and how nasty it can get. Like, Crystal will get home. She's vocalizing it, which is usually the first step to people kind of, like, owning it.
Yeah. And it puts pressure on you because you've kind of announced it. And then you get some support and stuff. Support, not people fucking doubting you.
Yeah, right.
And so,
this is the one time, though, that I, like, liked Sutton.
I know.
Sutton's like, I don't really like when we talk about something. I don't know about this eating disorder. I don't feel comfortable with it.
And she said it in the moment, and then she proceeded to, which Crystal has done the same thing for her. So I like this part of their relationship. She proceeded to go to Crystal and was like, So this was brought up, and mm-hmm. of course, who was it? Like, Rena had mentioned that it was brought up because they're so concerned, and Sutton mm-hmm. was like, blatantly just like, yeah, I don't think it was out of concern, actually.
Yeah.
Poor Crystal. She was like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, you need to be not surprised at how atrocious they are at this point.
I think that's going to be crazy next week.
Yeah.
But, and then there, Dorit having an NFL friend. Oh, I literally wrote that.
I know.
Sorry.
Dude forgot her own note.
So, and then Dorit having a, I think it was an NFL friend. I might be getting that mixed up from Atlanta, though, now that I think about it. Well, either way, Dorit has a friend who idolizes Garcelle, apparently.
Which is weird going into it like that. Going into meeting someone when they're like, I don't know. It would be hard to meet people when you're famous because I'd be like, you just doubt intentions, but
whatever. Oh, not me. If somebody was like, I have somebody who thinks you're the most gorgeous person in the entire world, I'd be like, bring it on. Tell them to tell me how pretty they think I am.
Okay. Well, we're different.
So I want to see that play out. I think that'd be fun. I hope it comes on the season and maybe there'll be a big announcement after at the reunion or something. Yeah,
I am curious too. I am curious to see who it is. But two things about that. One, I don't know. I feel like Dorit and Garcelle can be kind of awkward, but I do wonder if this is actually the start of a friendship because they did have that dinner earlier, which Garcelle said. Garcelle's pretty forgiving. Usually I feel like she just lets stuff go, but mm-hmm. she even was like, yeah, Dorit and I started off rocky and now we're getting a lot better. And then Garcelle kind of opened up to Dorit about Erica being like what's really going on with her because obviously she's not getting through to Kyle. And Dorit took that pretty seriously that Erica fell and hit her head. She was so drunk.
I think everybody should take that seriously.
And then just as a side note, Garcelle just drops. First of all, I love that she dropped two bombs and just like walked away from
it. Yes, she does.
She mentioned, about PK, the alleged quote unquote, drunk driving mm-hmm. incident and that he got a ride home and she was like, no one I know in my community gets a ride home from the cops.
I know.
After drunk driving. Like, no. Insane. No. That was number one. Number two about Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
That was crazy. I'm curious about that. And she was a little Easter egg for her book, I suppose.
I think it's really important that she said that about the driving home, though. Could you imagine, like, if a person of color was...
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Never.
Never. And I think, like, we forget little things like that. Like, oh, yeah, the police gave him a ride home. Like, what?
What?
Why?
That makes no sense.
Yeah.
That's insane. But then also, with the Dorit thing, so after Garcelle said something to her, which, I mean, I feel like Dorit just tries not to... like upset Erica or really anyone.
Yeah, for sure.
But she actually called Erica out and it was like pretty timid, but she at least said something. That's more than like Kyle has done.
Yeah. Well, Kyle's just completely excusing Erica.
Yeah.
Like she's like, oh, you can do this and this and this, but it's your first time, so okay.
Yeah, exactly. And who I didn't miss this episode, by the way, just saying. But Erica proceeds to already drunk off champagne or Rena Rose. And just starts taking over the conversation to talk about her sex life. Again, mm-hmm. it's like, we're sick of hearing about your sex life.
Yeah.
Go have sex. You do you. You don't need to talk about it in every scene.
And it's just like the way, like, I hate the people who constantly say things for shock value to, like, dead a conversation. Kelly Dodd does it. Erica does it. Like, I know there's other Bravo celebrities who do it, but they just want to, like, and it just makes everybody feel weird and it's cringy. And mm-hmm. it's like, that's okay that you are
trying really hard.
Yeah. Like, listen, everybody should have good sex. Everyone.
Yeah.
Now, do people have to talk about it in such a, I don't know. And I'm kind of sensitive to PDA. Like, I don't like it. And I think, like, just like random, like, comments, like, I'm just here for good dick. I'm like, that's so weird to me. Like, just enough.
Stop. Yeah. And stop. It was in the middle of Garcelle and Dorit talking.
It was in the middle of Garcelle. Yeah, no, Dorit wanting to set Garcelle. It was just bizarre.
It was bizarre.
But
anyway, so then that after that, it kind of leads to Erica. Garcelle pulls Erica aside. And this kind of annoys me because I'm like,
She seemed to have gotten so upset at what Erica said, but they were out to dinner with just them privately. Like, she should have just asked Erica more about it instead of going to her interview and then going to Sutton and then whatever.
Yeah.
Because what she said wasn't ridiculous, that, right. like, Sutton is liability. It's like, she literally is.
She is. Yeah.
Like, I know people don't like to hear that, but she literally is. It's like, Garcelle's always cleaning up her mess. She does get into a fight with every single person. Like, where's the motherfucking lie?
Yeah, right.
I mean, truly. So, there is that, but so Garcelle tells Sutton about it and then immediately pulls Erica to the side.
Yeah.
But I think Erica was like pretty spot on about the whole thing. And
I agree.
Basically being like, she is insensitive mm-hmm. with the gun comment, which Garcelle did admit mm-hmm. also that that was terrible.
But then she wanted to pull Sutton in and it's like, yeah. well, I'm explaining to you, like if somebody gets a gun put to their head and then you say, oh, sorry, I didn't get a gun put to my head. And you kind of mock the situation. And, like, for Erica, I felt kind of bad because it's like, Garcelle's not asking to talk to Sutton and you. She's pulling you aside to get more of a reason why you said that.
Mm-hmm.
So have the conversation and let her explain. Don't have Sutton come in and have her feelings involved.
Yeah.
And then the conversation spirals.
And also, I don't like how Garcelle, like, takes everything as, like, an attack to her that's mm-hmm. at Sutton. Like, she gets so upset if people who Sutton has had problems with are mm-hmm. upset with her. And it's like, well, she's attacked them.
Yeah.
And so when Erica said that and she got like so mad, it's like, actually, she's kind of looking out, dude. How about yeah. you take that and you think about it?
Right.
How about that? Instead right. of like getting mad. It's weird. Right. She's not saying that you're like something. It's about a different person.
Yeah.
Like, why are you taking that on? It's crazy.
Right.
So she's really intense with that, but it takes 0.5 seconds for it to come up anyways, even after their conversation. Well, one really quick thing, though. I did like how Erica was like, because Garcelle was just like, oh, you know, we're a family, you know, with my family, I stick up for my family, blah, 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 and was kind of like, you don't think I would do that for you? And Erica's like, no.
No.
I actually don't. And Garcelle's like, yeah, you're right.
And it's like, well, then why would you say that?
Like, why?
And don't Erica was like, which is fine, because we're not as close as you inside, yeah. And that's fine. She's like, but I don't think you believe me in the things that I tell you. And Sutton's, and Garcelle's like, I don't. And Erica yeah. was like, well, then okay. Are you it. Cold? Let's go back up.
Yeah.
So I did appreciate the way Erica, like, I think that's, if Erica could just approach situations like that
mm-hmm.
instead of this blow up and this craziness that we've seen.
Yeah.
I think she would have more credibility.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So then, so Sutton brings it up. Immediately, which is like, I don't know. I mean, I can see why she brought it up, but it's so silly to act like you don't all talk shit about each other constantly behind yeah. Kayla's back, but whatever. And then Erica is proceeding to, I think, fairly explain why it's frustrating because Garcelle always defends Sutton, but Garcelle gets so mad if anyone else defends, mm-hmm. like, the minute Kyle defends, well, anyone really. Mm-hmm. Like, Garcelle loses her mind.
Right.
And she's like, and you're jumping ship, and you're this, and you're right. that, and whatever. And but she's like, but I don't need to give her a break, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But
well, she even says, she goes, why does everybody attack me for being a loyal friend? And it's like, nobody.
Literally
actually,
no one's attacking
me. Actually, maybe she didn't say attack, but comes at me, yeah. I think is what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, well, nobody's coming at you. But yeah, your friend has done stuff to everyone. So, yeah, she has a little bit of a liability. Yeah.
It's crazy. Like, even with the Diana and Sutton thing at Garcelle's party. So, Sutton pulled Diana aside
mm-hmm.
and then attacked her, mm-hmm. like, literally. Mm-hmm. And then Garcelle and Kyle come at the same time. And Garcelle was so furious that Kyle was standing up for Diana mm-hmm. or telling Sutton to stop when Garcelle was standing up for Sutton. It's like, yeah. why are you the only person?
Right.
It's crazy.
Right.
So, that drives me absolutely insane. But I think it was good for Sutton to get called out, but then it just completely goes off the rails when mm-hmm. Rinna just explodes.
Mm-hmm. 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 So Rinna was not forgiving of Sutton still. I know she keeps saying, like, I've forgiven you and I moved on, but honestly, you probably just don't like somebody that you love to torture. I don't like torturing people that I like.
Their lunch was so weird.
It was so weird.
I was like, I'm uncomfortable and I want this to stop. And mm-hmm. Sutton's so fake all the time where she's like, I really love going to lunch yeah. with you. I love where Diana, I thought we were in a great spot.
Like, yeah.
What the fuck are you talking about?
All right. I know. She's super fake, but also Rinna's being fake by being like, I've forgiven you, because I'm like, bitch, you are still talking about her.
She
might have
thought she did, though.
She might have thought she did, but she clearly did not. And although Sutton has apologized, Rinna just might not like her. And that's okay. And you guys just don't have to be around each other. But then Rinna loses her mind. She's like, I'm going to take you the fuck down.
I will fucking take you down.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Which is so crazy. But like, I don't know, two things. Rinna, one, Sutton has apologized a million times sincerely. Yeah. So I don't, it's like, maybe you're just, it's like you said, there's no hope for you. But then also where Rinna draws the line, I'm like, the charity thing is the most, you have said it, you have spread insane lies about people that were disgusting and life ruining. And you, this is where you like lose it. This is the hill that you are going to die on after all the things over all the seasons that you have done to other people. This charity event
ticket. Munchausen's. Close to death from alcoholism. Close to death
from alcohol are the top two. Oh my God, that was so crazy.
Yeah. That was crazy.
God. So anyway, so I just thought, I was like, I mean, I could see why she was upset, but it's like, what else are you, what else are you gonna do?
Yeah, it's crazy. You just honestly don't like Sutton. That's it.
You actually hate her, I think.
Yeah, so we'll see what
happens. Yeah, we will see what happens, because that was crazy.
Yeah, that was absolutely insane. I think next week's stuff's gonna fly off the walls.
Okay, now we have Dubai. Episode 9. So mostly this is like basically around the Brooks versus Sarah fight.
Yeah.
Which I actually liked this episode because it kind of like showed some background for both of them of why they got into this fight, what their triggers are, why this is like gotten so bad.
Yeah.
Because it's been crazy. But so it starts, so on the Sarah side, it starts with Ayan. Finally, after saying really mean things about her behind her back, finally goes to her and is like, in a very nice way, I thought, was like, listen, you can come off a little preachy. I understand now that you have very good intentions. I completely get where you're coming from. But maybe you could try to come to us with no judgment.
Yeah.
Because it kind of comes off as judgment.
Yeah. I really liked Aya on this episode. I just think she's funny, and she brought like a light comedy and just niceness.
Yeah, just niceness. Yeah, she was very kind, and yeah, and I get the, I totally understand where like you are trying to be good, but it comes off as like condescending, maybe, or judgmental.
Judgmental, I think it is. Like Sarah, even just like, she's listening, but she's not saying anything. And, like, it's kind of that thing where you're like, should I stop talking? Should I keep talking? What are you going to say? I don't know. You're just staring at me. That makes me feel weird. And, like, I just think her approach to things sometimes, and just, you can tell she thinks very highly of herself, which is fine. But, like, that comes off, like, judgmental.
Yeah. So I can, yeah, I can see why they think that. And I can see how you wouldn't notice that you're doing that. But she just will not admit when she's wrong. No. Like, she's like, okay. And then in an interview, she's like, I have no idea what the fuck she's talking about. I'm not judgmental at all. And it's like, okay, well, if you've done all this work, then you should be able to hear what someone says and then, like, try to be better about that. If multiple people say that you're coming off judgy, then maybe you should evaluate that instead of just being like, absolutely not. I would never. So that's annoying.
And Sarah gives insight, like you were saying. This episode does a really good job of, like, giving past ideas of what they were going through. So Sarah had her first business at 15 and got married. I think she was really young. She wasn't 15, but she was young. And then she was divorced, she said, by 26 or 27. And she's like, I had to be strong for myself, because when I got divorced, everybody was, why would you marry him? We told you not to marry him. You know, and she's like, that didn't make me feel good. And I think she's just always had to have this, like, very strong persona. And I think she's really had to work on herself and, like, never let herself down.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that was really enlightening, because having your first business by 15, what the fuck?
And she said multiple businesses fail. Now she's, like, a super successful businesswoman. So clearly she's had to, like, really make a lot of changes and, like, become badass entrepreneurial woman and put up with some shit from her exes or her ex or whatever. So that definitely helps give insight into why she's so, like, hard-headed about it.
Yeah, because obviously if you're with somebody that you shouldn't have been or wasn't the right fit, I think they do a lot of putting you down.
Yeah, exactly.
And making you feel small. And I feel like now she's coming out and she feels big.
Yeah.
And that's good, but you have to know how to tailor that, too.
Right.
But it was funny to see her and Ayan take that picture while she's all in Ayan's dress.
Too. I know. They're cute. I like this relationship. They're funny.
I actually like Ayan. I turned a new leaf with her this episode.
You did. You were like, absolutely not at the beginning. Mm-hmm. But then we have Brooks's side of things.
Yep.
So it was really interesting watching. It's so weird that she goes into business with her, all of her exes.
Bizarre.
And she's like, I know them the most, which I'm like, I do get that. But yeah. Also, you had horrible relationships with them. So it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But so what? She goes with, sorry, what were you?
I was just going to say, like, her ex-husband, Zaran. She's like, you were so angry in our marriage. I'm like, you want to go into business with a hothead?
Yeah, right.
Just, okay.
So crazy, which it seems like now he's not. So they get lunch and he basically, like, apologizes. Even, like, when she's like, you're so calm. It's weird.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I don't know. It's like, how often do you see each other?
Right.
Because all of a sudden he's calm now that you're filming. Like, is he doing it for the camera? Or do you just not see each other very often? And maybe that's going to change. I don't know. So I thought that was really crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely her talking about how hard it was to, like, be married to him was, I feel like, got to be therapeutic.
Yeah.
To get it out.
Right. Well, and it seemed like even going into that lunch that they had, I'm like, she's looking for closure for something. Yeah,
for sure.
Like, even as I was watching it, she says it later that she got the closure that she needed. But, like, watching her try and pull stuff out of him, I'm like, you need closure on this because you're still sitting with stuff.
100%.
And then it was just sad. She's like, yeah, being married to you made me really hard. And I'm like, that's sad.
Yeah. Like, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, her reactions to things are insane.
Insane.
Insane. Yeah. And I'm sure if you're with someone who they react like that and then you react back, like, that's, I would not be surprised if that played into why she has these reactions. I mean, they're like she should get help for that.
Yeah.
It's really, really bad.
Right.
Yeah. Which, speaking of, that leads us straight to the Ethiopian lunch.
Yeah. Which was,
first of all, Ayan, I love what you were trying to do, but that was a terrible idea. Just surprising them with Brooks.
Yeah. No, you can't do that.
That was just not good.
You can't do that. Okay. This was so frustrating because Brooks is screaming at Sarah and Sarah's denying everything that she actually said.
Yeah.
And she's like, I didn't say that. And I'm like, no, you might not have meant it the way you said it, but you did say
you
that.
You did say it though.
And
well, you said a version of that.
A version of it. Yeah. Yeah. I don't think it was verbatim by any means, but it was the right idea of what she was saying.
It was like she meant something slightly different and Brooks insinuated something slightly on the opposite end. So it was like somewhere in the middle is what she said and they both went a completely different way with it.
Right. Right.
But it's problematic.
Brooks can't – or Sarah can't say anything about it because Brooks is just screaming at her.
Screaming.
So it's
– she walked in like – ready to fight though because like Sarah's like good to see you and she's like I don't think it is I don't believe you or whatever and it's like can you just sit down for a second maybe order food I mean Jesus really
and then Brooks is like Sarah shut the fuck up and it's like Sarah literally has said nothing like she says one word and you're it actually Brooks should be shutting the fuck up it's like it's too much you're just screaming at her and then
I'm just sick of the way that she's so disrespectful like how she talks to her and tells her to shut the fuck up and like has her hands on her face, grabs, like she like flicks her hair like at Caroline Stanbury's thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, enough with the disrespect. Just sit down and have a conversation.
Right.
Like, what is wrong with you?
Right.
It's so crazy.
Right.
I hate that.
And it's like, I get that it revolves your kid, but you can have an understanding too. Sarah's not coming at your kid, you know?
Yeah. Right. And she's not saying anything bad about your parenting. I mean, she could be like, you did this wrong or you don't provide enough for your son or like whatever instead of being like, don't be militant with him.
Yeah.
Like your mom was. Like, right. That kind of thing. Anyway.
Right. And so then the boundaries thing comes up and Brooks is like, I want to set boundaries with you. I'm like, no, there needs to be boundaries set.
Yeah.
Period. Because you're busting through anybody's regular boundaries that they would have for themselves.
Right.
And you want to know what? If you don't want people to talk about your kids, you should not open up that conversation. Mm-hmm. You opened it up by saying, I don't know what to do. Should I send them to boarding school or not?
Yeah.
You're opening for advice about your child.
And talking about your childhood and how you're concerned about like having like that history.
Yeah. Exactly. And so, I think, like, Sarah should have maybe not been so defensive about what she was saying. I think she could have been like, I'm sorry if you felt like I overstepped boundaries.
Yeah, or I'm sorry that I overstepped boundaries.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I overstepped boundaries because I feel like if obviously you see somebody's getting that triggered about talking about their child, it's just not worth it. Like, it's not a conversation that you need to have or whatever, you know?
Yeah. Like, you hurt someone's feelings, even if you didn't mean to.
Right.
If you hurt someone's feelings, just apologize for it, even if it was not your intention.
Right.
God damn.
And then they all leave.
Oh, yeah. They just, like, flip. Oh, my God. If I was Sarah, I would be so out of there, too. Like, that is just gross to scream at someone like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And then,
Nina?
Nina, yeah. Thank you. She, honestly, Brooke screamed at her recently, too. So if I were her, I would have left also. It's like, you're a lunatic.
Yeah.
So enough of that.
She did. And then, but the, you know, then Nina chases Sarah out. And Sarah's like, no, I go to therapy because I don't want to be like that. And stuff. And I'm like, yeah, Brooke, you're not making yourself look very good. But that's like, that's like another thing. I don't know. That's just like the Sarah complex again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is fine because nobody, like, Brooks is losing her cool. She is making herself look stupid.
Well, I didn't really feel like that. I feel like that wasn't condescending at all. Like, she said, like, as she said, she's tried all these therapies. Like, she probably did used to respond like that.
Yeah.
And so that's, like, not a healthy, safe environment for you.
Yeah.
Also, just for anyone, it's not a healthy, safe environment to be talked to like that.
No. It was too much. But it did not stop Ayan from staying and eating.
No.
She said, I'm going to eat this food in this fabulous purple dress that I have no idea.
Somebody should have stayed with her. It was so rude.
It's so rude. And honestly, Brooke should have stayed with her and apologized for ruining her entire lunch.
Yeah, truly. I mean, that was so crazy. So then we have the dance party. Which was so funny.
So
I can't believe how almost no one can dance.
Yeah.
It's crazy. But I loved the theme, the Jamaica theme.
Yeah.
I loved how Lisa was like, and nobody's going to come at Sarah for an afro because that's part of her culture too.
Yeah, yeah.
No appropriation here, which was so funny. And everyone looked really good. So then they have the dance off. It goes great. Ayan is, I've never seen anything like her dancing in my entire life.
It's truly incredible. Perfect.
And then Brooks and Sarah make up at the end.
No, they made up at the rehearsal.
Oh, it was. Yeah, it was at the rehearsal. That's right.
Which was really good to see. So they all went into the dance party feeling good.
Right.
And I think that's why it was so lighthearted and fun.
Definitely.
And I think they had a really good, productive conversation. And sometimes you just got to argue it out. Argue it out, then dance it out.
I mean, nothing like a dance party to get everyone back.
Amen to that. Amen to that.
We'll see what's coming up, but I think that's, I don't really think there's any outstanding drama that to pick up off. So we'll see what happens.
Nina's dad's feeling better.
Yeah.
Brooks and Sarah are on the mend. Caroline, something's going to happen with Sarah Sanberry because she's just.
She hates Lisa so much.
I feel like she just kind of hates everyone.
Yeah, she does. She hates everyone, but she really hates Lisa. Like so much.
And Lisa's very unbothered by it.
Yeah.
She's like,
and
I'm like,
and if we have to pick a housewife, it's not going to be you. So it's going to be Lisa. Bye-bye.
So yeah, we'll see what happens next week.
Okay. Now we have Southern Charm episode 7. A bit of a dull, this is kind of a dull season, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It's
just like, I don't know.
They're giving a lot of time to the new people, and Olivia bores me to absolute death.
And also, every confessional I think about skipping over because I can't stand the way she talks.
I wish you wouldn't dwell on this so much.
I can't help it.
Well, her personality sucks even more, so.
I know, but you don't have to see her personality all the time.
Yes,
you have to hear her talk every single time she opens her mouth.
Well, anyway, so a lot of this was about Vanita and Olivia. So I just kind of like the, what was it?
Dubai?
Yeah, kind of like Dubai. It kind of gives some background, which helps. So it gives a little insight into why we're at where we are at. So it talks about Vanita's like kind of history. So she has a conversation with her mom, which her mom seems lovely, but it just kind of sucks. Like, just how much Vanita is struggling with how her mom has taken the approach, like, with her dad. How she's like, I'm just not going to talk about it at all. It's like, well, that's not constructive for a child. And her dad just is just gone one day. Like, all fucked up, and then she can't even ask about it. Like, that's crazy.
Right. I think that's, like, a good example, though, because it's like her mom has to cope in the way she has to cope, too. You know?
Yeah, no, that's true.
And it's really hard. And I thought it was so sad when Benito was like, I was an only child. So one day it was the three of us. And then the next day it was just two of us. And I had no idea what happened.
Yeah.
And like, oh, that's really sad. Horrible. And to have no answers. And then she was talking about she never saw her parents fight ever.
Mm-hmm.
And so she doesn't know how to handle arguments and stuff like that.
I thought that was so insightful.
Yeah, I thought that was very insightful as well. And I think it's really like, it's really crazy because you think like, oh, when you're around arguing a lot, that's how you are. But that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And look at Benito. She's not around arguing at all. So then when she gets in something, she argues, you know? Yeah. And I just thought that was really powerful. But I feel bad for her mom, too, because I'm like, maybe her mom doesn't want to talk about it. And that's how she handles things.
Yeah, which is, I mean, but if you're a parent, you do have to make a sacrifice for your, I mean, it's your kid. That's true. Their dad. So it's like at some point you have to put your feelings aside.
Yeah.
Because it's not like your sibling, it's your actual child. So I feel like it's a little bit different. She kind of should have been a little more
sensitive.
Sensitive. Yeah. Right. Because you can't just be like, your dad's gone. That's it.
Yeah.
And I have to deal with it. How I have to deal with it. So you don't get to know anything. It's right. Like, that's crazy.
Yeah. I can see that.
But so Vanita and talking about how she can't handle conflict and stuff, I feel like this is also why she's taking so much of the blame with her and Olivia, because I actually think it's completely Olivia's fault.
Yeah.
Like, I don't really see much fault in Vanita.
Yeah.
And now she's, like, over-apologizing, and she is feeling bad mm-hmm. about the whole thing. And
wanted to leave her own party.
Yeah, wanted to leave her own party and everything when Olivia's just, like, kind of an asshole.
Mm-hmm.
So then they have their coffee or whatever, which was so hard to watch because I think Vanita, this is like the third time she has tried. Like she tried at the party and Olivia was like so bitchy and was mm-hmm. just like, I don't have the time of day for you. And mm-hmm. then even on Watch What Happens Live, she was like, she was asking me to defend not being racist. And it was like, no she wasn't. You defended racism
mm-hmm.
essentially, like in a remote way. And then she was like, well, why would you question that? Kind of thing. So it's like, don't twist how it happened.
Right.
It does not sit well with me. Mm-hmm. And then she is just sitting there like she can't treat her with respect. Mm-mm. Like, she's so much more respectful to Madison.
Mm-hmm.
She can't even just be at coffee with her.
She looks like, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
She like, why would you say yes to miserable. It then?
And then Vanita's like, how was the party? And
yeah.
She was just like so crazy weird about it. I was like cringing.
I know.
I was like,
same.
What the fuck is wrong with you? You're same. A crazy person.
That was really hard to watch. And just, oh God, I don't like Olivia at all. No, and I don't even think she's giving Vanita a chance.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the hell? And by the way, she invited Naomi to the party. And she also got yelled at. Whose party was it? I think it was at Naomi's party. And it was the four of them. It was Leva, Naomi, Vanita, and blah, blah, blah.
And she was defending. Came at Naomi, and then Vanita piped in.
Yeah.
100%. And so, she invited Naomi. Yeah, she's definitely got a thing with her, so.
So I'm just like, it's sad. And then, like, Vanita, like, really beat herself up. She's like, I didn't get invited to this party. And, like, that made her really sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As it would anybody.
So mean. Yeah. So invite everyone else but her, even people who there's been drama with. Like, are you really?
Yeah. Seriously.
Come on.
God.
And then, and then Vanita is like trying to bring up the only thing they have in common, which is the Madison and Austin thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then just give her like a heads up about it. And she was so closed and bitchy to her about that.
She's like, why would it matter? It's like,
how would it not? Did Austin not just yell at you?
Yeah.
And then he was weird when she showed up. Have you not been here for all of the Austin things?
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Yeah. But yeah, I just felt like I just felt like Vanita's really trying and Olivia's just being a bitch. And I don't like that. And I just think she is a bitch.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're just kind of you're salty.
Yeah.
You think you're better.
Mm-hmm.
You're with Austin Kroll.
Yeah.
Like, that already takes you down 100 points, honey.
She does. She really does think she's better. Like, again, at that party where she thought she was the only one that could say anything.
Yeah.
And no one else could say anything back to her. That was so crazy.
But she came after Madison on Watch What Happens Live and...
Oh, yeah. I didn't see what Madison... Did Madison respond? Okay, well, let's talk about Watch What Happens Live for 1 second.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back to Naomi and Craig. So, first of all, I loved that Olivia got called out for being awful to Vanita. She got everyone to be on her side. She was shocked that she was like, I started drama?
Yeah.
Me? What? Right. I was mean to Vanita? I was like, yeah, bitch, we watched you.
I wish they would have done work the polls and questioned that.
Smart.
Yeah.
Yeah. Catherine, I was like, shut the fuck up. She was just like, wouldn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
Piping in, answering for Olivia, taking over the whole thing, like talking over Andy. I'm like, what is wrong with
you? And Catherine does that thing where like she'll get a question and she's like, so yeah. And she'll like, she'll act like she's gonna say something and she's like, mm. And she always like stops herself and it's like, you are a fucking lunatic. Why are we forgetting that you freak out on everyone? You cannot control your temper. Like, should we watch every single season you've been a part of?
Oh, my God. Oh,
Jesus. You're a fucking mess.
Yeah, she is a mess. And even the fact that she could still watch. Like, Andy was like, what did you think after watching the scene with Naomi and Caleb? And she's, like, still blaming Naomi. I mean, she's blaming Caleb, too, but... Large depression, she's like, they're both crazy. I'm like, how could you have watched that and thought it was Naomi?
Right.
Like, it was...
Right.
That was insane.
That is insane.
But then the last part of it is Olivia is clearly, like, full-on dating Austin, just by the way that she was talking, which is like, what?
And defending then, his actions.
Yeah. Oh, my God. The actions she was defending. Especially, like, in the summer house thing. Yeah. I was like, what? Why? Did you watch that? That's who you want to be with? You are... crazy.
I don't, I'm like, whatever.
But then, so she makes a couple digs at Madison, which is like, that's a really dumb move.
Yeah. And then Catherine also took a dig at Madison, and Catherine and Madison are friends.
Oh.
And because even Catherine goes, I love Madison, but, and I'm like, you are starting a war, honey. Yeah. Why would you want Olivia?
Madison's scary.
I would pick Madison over and over and over. 6 million times before I picked Olivia.
Yeah.
Madison will eat Olivia alive.
Yeah. True.
And then Olivia's like, well, she's still sending him late night texts. And
And her late night text was like, I don't want to have any more drama.
Yeah.
It was like, not. She made it seem like it was going to be like a sexual thing.
Right.
It wasn't at all.
Yeah.
But did Madison say anything back?
And Madison was on Watch What Happens Live first.
Oh, got it.
Yeah. I don't remember her talking about Olivia, but I'd have to go back and watch it.
Okay. Well, anyway, so the last thing that happens on the episode is basically the Naomi and Craig thing, which, God, talk about cringe and awkward. This is so crazy. First of all, they're both so dumb.
Honestly,
I'm over both of them. So Naomi insists on getting coffee.
Yeah, to tell him about Catherine.
So weird.
So weird.
Literally makes no sense.
But Naomi still likes Craig. She wants Craig's attention.
Okay, so that's, I'm still not convinced. I don't know.
Would you, if your ex-boyfriend gave you any hesitation to go out to coffee with him, would you force it?
I think Craig's like that. It's like, okay.
No.
What, has he not been like that?
No, I don't think so.
Well, whatever. I don't know. I'm just not convinced.
Okay.
But, so they are going out to coffee and Paige, and he would have, though. That's the thing. Like, I'm sure they've had conversations about it, and then he wasn't weird about it before, so she's probably like, why, what?
Yeah.
We have the same group of friends. We've been around each other. We've been hanging out. Everything's been fine.
But they just recently hooked up.
I know, but since then, they've been around each other. They've gone to parties.
I know, but I think Naomi's thinking it's not going to work with me. I really think she likes him. Even when she was talking to him at the coffee shop, she's like, I learned my lesson. I shouldn't have aired our dirty laundry. And she's like talking about him like she wants him back, and it's weird. Like, if an ex was talking to me like that, I'd be like, get the fuck over it.
I'd just be like, I'm glad you finally see. Sometimes you were hard about something and then you got proved wrong. And then you're like, sorry, I was wrong about that. Doesn't mean you want somebody back. I do that in my normal life to normal people.
I don't know.
Well, whatever.
It seems intentional.
Anyway, I could be convinced, but I need more evidence. But
okay, give me a couple days here. Okay. Next pod, I'll come with a compilation.
Maybe it's just because I think Naomi's way too good for Craig. I don't really know. But anyway, so she admit. I mean, she should. She should. If she thinks that that was wrong of her, she should say sorry to him.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily mean she wants him back. I don't know. But so Craig is, he should have just over the phone been like, Paige is kind of uncomfortable with it.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't be, it's a completely fair thing to say.
Yeah.
So, he should have set that boundary a long time ago, to be honest. But but then, so he's just literally acting like someone's just going to pull up in a van and kidnap him.
I'm like, Craig, honey, the toe tag, I mean, he won't even look at her. He's just like looking down my belt the whole time. He's thinking Paige is going to fuck me up.
I know.
And his shoes are off his feet, literally. Oh my his God. Socks were showing as he's like tapping his feet.
It's so uncomfortable.
Won't even look at her. Won't even give her complete sentences. I'm like, buddy, you should not have came to this.
It's so crazy. But then, so he's like, we got to not hang out anymore.
Yeah.
And then her response was so insane. Where she was like, that's their problem. Like, why? How could that be weird? It was like, what? You hooked up recently. Yeah,
right.
Of course it makes somebody uncomfortable. I think that's reasonable. It's because
she wants to be around him.
Well, of course. I'm sure. Like, they always have been, like, in contact, I feel like. I don't know. He was obsessed with her when she was dating Matul.
Yeah.
Like, obsessed.
Yeah.
And, like, they have the same friends. They're on the show together. Like, yeah. Of course... they would be around each other.
Yeah.
Or like she would expect.
What if she did Summer House?
Through who?
I don't know. But what if she shows up? That'd be so funny. But, and then she's leaving and she goes, bye, Craigie. I'm
like, I don't know. Either she likes him or either she's trying to like erase the history and not have anything be weird.
I'm so convinced that she likes him that there's no one convincing me that that's not what it is.
Okay. Well, I'm sure we'll see.
Okay.
But I remain unconvinced that Paige and Craig are meant to be also anyway. So we'll see about that also. Okay. So last but not least.
Definitely not least.
Is Atlanta. Episode 13. So two of the big things. Drew and Ralph, just because it was so insane that we have to talk about it. And then just Jamaica in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I always have to have like a moment of silence before talking about Ralph because he makes me want to punch someone in the face.
I know.
Okay. I know. So the book conversation, essentially.
Yes.
So first of all, this whole adopting, not adopting thing for Josiah is absolutely insane.
It's insane. And the fact that he's picking Josiah's dad, who hasn't really been a part of his life. This was a storyline like. It wasn't a storyline, but it was part of their story on the show, which is a storyline, but that kind of sounded insensitive, so I wanted to rewind. But it was a part of their story on the show 2 seasons back, I think. Josiah's dad is a piece of shit who did not want to be part of his life.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Fine. But, so then.
That was just a strong stance to take.
Oh, well, it's like, come on. You're if you wanted to be a part of a kid's life, you would be.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And so Ralph refers to Josiah as his son. Mm-hmm. He's taken care of him. He's raised him. He's done all these things. And then you're going to have one conversation with his fucking biological sperm donor.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you choose him over this kid.
You have more respect for him than your wife and your son.
Tell me
what
you're kidding.
What the fuck is that? It just shows, it's like case in point for his like misogyny, basically. I'm like, you are disgusting.
It's insane.
Ugh, he's so gross to me.
It's literally insane. And then, okay, so then he's like, okay, so that's the backstory. Let me take a breather. So then he invites his publicist, right? It's his publicist over, and he's like, well, I learned my lesson with having an assistant.
Well, first of all, we find out that he's writing this book and he didn't even tell Drew.
Oh, yeah. Drew doesn't even know that there's a book being written. It's about her son and step-parenting and her and co-parenting.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the fuck? It's okay, so first you decide not to adopt him, then you decide to write about him.
Right.
Got
Without
it.
Even telling her.
Without even telling her.
Oh my God, that's so crazy to me.
Then he invites the publicist and refers to it as, and compares it to the assistant thing. By the way, we didn't know the assistant's name. He never told her. He was always gone traveling. The alleged assistant came for Drew on social media.
And let's not forget when he disappeared for a while.
Yes.
Last season.
That's what I'm saying, but always traveling.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's like you do all these things and then you're going to be like, oh, yeah, so I brought the publicist because I learned my lesson there. You didn't learn your lesson. You never apologized for it. You made excuses for it and whatever. And now you're bringing this beautiful woman, but who is not a threat to Drew, into the house and trying to make up for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like she's just doing her job where your assistant was like literally trying to date you.
Right. So, exactly. Like crazy. And it's just absolutely insane. And then Ralph's like, I'm not ready to have you read the book yet. And also, can you write the foreword?
Oh my God, he's a lunatic.
I was like, you're fucking, I would divorce him right there.
Right. And she has backed such gross things that I'm like, I'm sorry, but you set us back.
Yeah.
Like, this is atrocious to watch. Especially, like, on Watch What Happens Live, like, how she came on and backed what she said about wife's duties. With Sonia being like, no, a woman, you're the only one that can do it. Like, if you decide to get married, you need to be having kids for your husband. It's like, that's giving Handmaid's Tale and fucking, like Andy said, the Supreme Court. Like, what? Are you absolutely out of your mind that women are just vessels for babies to be used?
Yeah.
To birth children.
It's mental. She's brainwashed, unfortunately.
She is very brainwashed.
And
then she was talking about how they're doing so well now because of her therapist. And I'm like, God, that guy's a lunatic.
That guy's a fucking...
They're anti-women. It's so crazy.
Oh, my God. I can't even. I think we have to move on, honestly, because I start spiraling. Well,
just him. Two things about the Watch What Happens Live. Sonia gets on and is like, fuck that. That was gross.
Yeah.
So I love that she came on and was like, absolutely not. Even the doctor from
Married to Madison. That's not LaToya. Dr. Jackie. Is that Dr. Jackie?
It's Dr. Something.
I don't know, but she's amazing. I've seen a couple Married to Madison episodes. Oh, okay. I haven't ever watched it, but she is.
I would watch that one.
Yeah, she's amazing.
Yeah, and she's like, what is she supposed to have 10 kids if he asks it? Like, what are you even saying here?
Right.
And then Ralph just like watching her every response and like nodding when she like says the right thing. I was like, oh, you're vile.
God, I hate him. Anyway, I hate him so much.
So they're bad. They're bad. Bad, bad, bad. Yeah. Bad, 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 bad.
Oh, and one other thing about the book that I have to mention is Drew's literally like, what am I supposed to think? Is he going to write something bad about me, my parenting, and I'm like, you don't even trust your fucking husband enough to write good things about you being a mom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but we should have more kids with him. Yeah, got it. Right. Noted. Sounds good. Like, this is fucked up.
So crazy.
If Kyle wrote a book about our life, I'm sure there'd be shitty things in it. But I would expect him to – I would have no doubt he would reflect me as, like, a at least decent human being.
I know. Seriously.
Like, he wouldn't make the world think I'm a shitty person.
So crazy. But anyway, so then we go – okay, so we're off to Jamaica, which, oh, my God, I want to go there. It looks so great.
Yeah, me too.
So Kenya doesn't have her plus one, doesn't end up coming, which I also agree that Sonia was crazy about having a plus one.
Yeah, she was. But maybe she was planning group events.
Yeah, maybe.
Involved. Yeah. Like two people, and that's why. And maybe she didn't want to ruin a surprise or something.
Maybe don't do that then. Maybe plan different activities because, you know, some people just got divorced and whatnot. So but Kenya does her petty thing and just like make sure to not mention it to Sonia.
Right, come on, it's fighting fire with fire.
Yeah, which she did to Marlo and in the trip that didn't even finish.
Right. Yeah, Marlo said, okay, everyone, we're leaving,
everyone's kicked out.
But then Kenya says, just kidding, I have a plus one.
Yeah, Sonia came in with wingman energy.
Yeah.
And was like, hey, you.
Yep.
You're invited to dinner. Let's go.
Yep. She even, you know, prevented Candy from getting food, which we all know Candy does not like that.
Yeah, true. Candy was mad.
Yeah, that Candy was so like, funny. Where the fuck are these bitches
she's
going?
Like, I'm actually ready for food. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So this poor dear soul.
He runs away.
He literally ran away. Poor him. It's like, why did no one mourn this poor man? He comes to this dinner. And then, so immediately, I don't even think they've gotten food yet because the waiter comes over asking if he should bring apps. And Sonia's like, bring everything.
Yeah.
Bring all of the alcohol behind the bar. And so Ralph
starts... I need alcohol after talking about Ralph.
And it's crazy because Ralph is such a narcissist that he thinks he can... You know, he does that word thing.
Yeah.
Where the word tornado where he just throws things out and thinks he's, like, confusing people enough to where he doesn't have to explain himself.
Right.
And it's like, no, everyone around you is smart.
Yeah.
You're an idiot for thinking you're smarter than everyone on the planet.
Right.
So he starts explaining the crazy, like, adopting Josiah thing. And Marlo goes into her, which... I'm not dismissing her experiences as a kid, but I am saying that her using it all the time mm-hmm. when she has her own similar behavior that she can't excuse is mm-hmm. just hypocritical.
It is. Crazy. She's a giant hypocrite. She shouldn't have not come at Ralph. Both of them are in the wrong.
Yeah, they're both in the wrong.
She should not come at Ralph for about him not adopting Josiah because she also is taking in her nephews, and when the going got rough, she literally dumped them on her sister.
Yeah, on her sister who has four kids. As a mm-hmm. reminder, because I know something we talked about enough.
And like a small apartment.
Yeah, seriously. So she attacks him for that, right? And is like, that's not cool because you promised that and now you're not living up to it. And it's yeah. like, fair, 100%. You're right. But you need to sit your ass down.
Right.
Because you're in no place to talk, which Candy comes right in here and is mm-hmm. like, I don't think that you have the right to be talking because mm-hmm. of your nephews and stuff.
Which it's good to see. Candy, I feel like, doesn't get in the drama very often, so it's good to see her call a bitch out.
I agree, because that nephew thing triggered her.
Yeah.
Triggered
her. She did not like that.
She was so mad about that. Mm-hmm. She was just waiting for the right time, I feel like, to bring it up. Mm-hmm. And then Marlo, of course, this causes her to fly off the handle. So then she starts attacking... this is always the go-to, which makes me so... It's like, can someone get off? Did Todd do anything to anybody ever?
Yeah, right.
Please stop talking about him like this.
Right.
I'm gonna get mad for Todd. So she's like, basically like, you let your... In front of him, you let your mom like...
Walk all belittle, over and... Yeah, belittle. That's belittle exactly your husband the word she
is. Blah, blah, blah. And he's just like sitting there. And then she always like goes for the jugular, mm-hmm. like we've talked about, like Kelly Dodd. Mm-hmm. She just starts like attacking Candy, and Candy's like, first of all, why don't you get a husband? Mm-hmm. Which was like my favorite line. When you get a husband, you can tell me what to do with a husband.
Yeah,
she always does have something to say about people's personal business, mm-hmm. and it's like glass houses.
Yeah,
how many times do we have to talk about glass houses? In yeah, this goddamn
a
show?
Lot,
so
a lot,
so much. Marlo gets so upset that she brings up the nephews, and she's like, first of all, she shouldn't have brought that up in front of people, and secondly, kids are off limits. And I was like, how can you literally that say was that? In reaction to you doing that to someone else, mm-hmm. and you can turn around and be like, how dare they?
Right.
It's like, you actually are that delusional,
right,
to where you don't understand how you're a hypocrite.
Right.
I can't believe it. It's unreal.
Right. And it and also, like, Candy's mom hasn't really been a part of the show in so long. I mean, she is here and there, but, like, that really died out a few seasons ago. Of the Candy's mom and husband thing.
And then she tries to be like, and you talk shit about Candy, like, early on. Candy's like, what? Like, yeah. When we met? What are you talking about?
Right. What are you talking about? And also, Todd clearly loves Candy. And who cares if Candy's the breadwinner? It's going to be really hard to be more successful than Candy Burris.
Yeah, truly.
So, enough.
Yeah. I mean, some of the shit she says, I think even in Sonya's Watch Happens Live, she's like, I feel like she just blacks out and she says shit and she doesn't even know what she's talking about because mm-hmm. that's what she does. She's like, you're only known in Atlanta, which is like, that actually doesn't even make
when
sense.
When she said that, I was like, that's, if I was Candy, I'd be like, I cannot argue with you anymore because mm-hmm. I'm not even going to entertain the fact that you just said that. Right. I'm only known in Atlanta.
Yeah.
If you think Candy
Burris is...
It triggers
her so much, but I'm like, it's just... That doesn't even... It's like... But she has been, I feel like, being sensitive with the Broadway stuff. I feel like that's a trigger for her right now because she's like... As she said, like, an episode or two ago, she was like, yeah, everyone just kind of forgets how much work I've actually done. Like, yeah. I don't get the shit handed to me. Like, right. I actually work really, really hard for this stuff.
Right.
And she paves way for people like her.
I was going to say, I feel like she puts a lot of effort and invests in a lot of things that, like, are part of the Black community. And mm-hmm. sometimes those things don't get picked up on as mm-hmm. easily.
Yeah.
And right. I feel like that's, like, something that she's really passionate about. So when people discredit...
Discredit
that.
It's bad.
Frustrating
it's
to her.
It's so disrespectful. And yeah. I just want to say that one thing that really bothered me, actually, is that when they were, like, going and doing the interviews and everyone was, like, laughing about how silly that was that Marlo said that, mm-hmm. and they were bringing up some things that, like, Candy has done, and it got to Sheree, and she has been, like, allowing Marlo to shit on Kenya and Candy all season and then excused it during Watch Happens Live without, mm-hmm. like, copping to any of it. And then she was like, oh, I mean, I guess she did Broadway, but that's only in New York. It's like, yeah. How fucking dare you?
Yeah.
How shitty.
Well, and you want to know what, Trey? You're irrelevant because what the fuck have you done?
She was irrelevant. It was just like such a shady thing to say. I was like, you're just fucking mean this season.
Right. Well, and Shrey's so, like, I don't really like Shrey. I'm not a stan for Shrey. I think she doesn't pay people. Never. I don't think she...
She just point blank, she just doesn't pay
people. Literally. I feel like that's why she loses everyone. She's been talking about She by Shrey for... Literally since like season
one, summer, September.
Yeah, I'm like, you're not anything.
Yeah,
like, and then you feel bad for yourself when bad things happen. Like Tyrone, mm-hmm. you set yourself up for that. Sorry, oh, that was so bad. I mean, I'm sorry that he left you alone at a restaurant, but have a producer sit down and have lunch with you. Boom, done.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just don't feel that bad for her.
No, I don't feel bad for her at all, to be honest with you. But
yeah,
then Todd hasn't. He's like, Marlo. Guess what? You're only in the show because you bought your way in.
Yeah.
Which I loved all the flashbacks they were doing to, like, mm-hmm. season one and stuff. Because I'm like, she's like, I came in with Phaedra or whatever. And then like, she has the nerve to be like, and how dare Candy talk about Phaedra? I was like, what? They hate each other. What are you talking about?
Right.
So that was, like, so crazy.
And also, Todd didn't just say you bought your way in. He said you had no friends.
You had no friends.
He said that. And he did. Was like, damn, boy.
Yeah.
Damn, boy.
He sure did. Which even on Watch What Happens Live, he was like over it already. He was like, what? She's like a sister.
Yeah.
He didn't even get that mad. It's like amazing. He like didn't even get that mad during it. He like barely said anything. But yeah, so that was popping off. Sonia's like, this is embarrassing. It's like,
and John said
goodbye.
Yeah, he peaced the fuck out.
So funny. So I'm curious to know. Where that's going to go from there. But Marlo, honestly, she's just totally cheapening the season of Atlanta.
She is.
You're down and dirty. You mm-hmm. just like, you just, you're not even like, your fighting is just gross.
Your fighting's gross. And then your makeups are not sincere.
Yeah.
You're just like a.
You talk so much shit. You say vile, horrible
things. Yeah, she's a bad person.
Yeah, you're a bad person. And it's not fun to watch. It's not fun drama. It's just gross drama. It's like feels trashy. I don't like it. It's just like, it's gross to me. I've never liked her for that reason. But anyway, we'll see what it is. If like all you can do is just like scream profanities at people,
mm-hmm.
like that's what, I hate that.
Yeah, I know. And I wasn't like. Marlo getting a peach shook things up and it's shaking things up, but like I'm also not a Marlo stan. Like I'm just like, you are here.
Definitely not.
I'd rather see Nene come back.
Oh my god, that'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Just one season, but she's also not a good person. So
she's a lot too.
But anyway, so that's it for this episode. I don't know, I think I'm most excited for Atlanta.
Yeah. Atlanta seems like it's going to pop off.
Yeah, that's in a good spot. Mm-hmm. So
I think we're getting ready to, like, build ups here. Mm-hmm. Like, things are going to start happening.
Yeah, for sure. I just want Potomac to come back.
Oh, Potomac's good.
I love Potomac.
I kind of wish Dallas would come back, too.
I heard that they were thinking about rebooting that.
Yeah, I think that. I don't know.
Huh. Yeah, and if we can do it around Tiffany Moon and her friends, I'm down for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because those are...
I can't handle any more of this, like, the Cameron Westcotts of the world.
Yeah.
I simply can't.
Same.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens with all the things. But, all right. In the meantime, we'll be back next week, but follow us on all of the, well, there are only two. Follow us on the two things. On Instagram, it's dose.of.reality. Dose is D-O-S. And on Twitter, it's doseofreality_. And then like and subscribe on whatever you're listening to this on and take our polls and do the things and share.
Yeah. And tell a friend and tell Andy Cohen.
And yes, always at Andy Cohen.
Adam every single time.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Bye, guys.